So yeah, that's my thing. Giggity.
Incoming transmission. Engage house party protocol. Mark 4 powering up. Mark 17 powering up. Mark 44 powering up. All suits are online. Welcome to house party protocol.
Power up suits and welcome in to another episode of House Party Protocol. My name is Will, and with me today is a somewhat regular, but a good friend nevertheless, the one and only Derek Grant. How's it going, my man?
It is going pretty well. It's going to be a good day tomorrow, hopefully. And
4th of July, I hope so too.
Mm-hmm. So it's going well. How are you?
Man, you know, I can't complain. I could complain, but who's going to listen to me complain? I'd rather talk about Marvel Crisis Protocol. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
So, yeah, just so anyone out there listening, this is going to be a little bit different of an episode because we are recording this on July 3rd. And the reason for that is I'm going out of town and I needed to make sure that I was able to get an episode out for you fair suits out there. So y'all wouldn't be missing out on your regularly scheduled house party protocol episode. With that, though, we do expect that next week, so the week I'm going to be out of town, that the guys at AMG are going to be spoiling something from CP10. That is kind of the expectation floating around on the interwebs. And if they do, then you can expect to maybe get a special episode instead of doing an after party. Maybe me and Nate will talk about the spoiled cards for a week. But for now, we've got Derek here. And Derek, I'm glad you're here because I think you and I have had some really good conversations about the topics we're going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about a few interesting topics. We're going to talk about crisis card selection and how that affects the game you're going to play, and also maybe get into how priority will work based on crisis card, and then maybe based on board state. And then also after that, we're going to talk about what our four most wanted characters are for the game and how you, or me in this case, would want them implemented in Marvel Crisis Protocol. Like, we're going to go with attacks, maybe some stamina, maybe some threat value, talk about what some superpowers could be, the whole nine yards. I think it's going to be fun. And I personally, when I was talking to Derek about doing this episode, I said, hey, let's do four characters. And there's a very specific reason that I wanted four. Let's see if you can guess it before we get there. Anyways, Derek, are you ready to dive right in on this crisis card tactical discussion?
I was born ready.
Born ready. You woke up, you got out of bed, and you woke up ready for this conversation.
That's how I do it. That's how I do it every day.
Roll out of bed, ready to do a podcast about Marvel Crisis Protocol, right?
Every day. I think about it all the time. Although Marvel Champions has kind of occupied some of my time.
Yeah, all right. Yes, full disclosure, I love that game too. Like, if you're not playing Marvel Champions, if you like the Marvel Universe and you enjoy board games enough, definitely go check out Marvel Champions. It's really good. It's a ton of fun. I've been playing it since it released, and yeah, I can't get enough of it.
Yeah, I got it last week, Saturday, and I think I've played it 2 dozen times.
My goodness.
Yeah, I'm obsessed.
Yeah, it's really great. It's really great, and there's a lot of great heroes in there, and they are adding new heroes all the time, new villains. Just, yeah, it's wonderful, but we're not here to talk about that.
Exactly.
So, Derek, we're talking about crisis cards today, and there seems to be, on the broader interwebs of Marvel Crisis Protocol, two different thoughts. There's the thought of secure crises dictate what the match is going to be versus extracts dictate what your match is going to be. And I think that It's actually somewhere in the middle.
I would agree. I would agree, but for me, it leans a little more one way. Just a little bit. But it's more. It's definitely more towards the middle for me as well.
So it's interesting that you say it leans towards secure. Why is that?
Well, there are fewer of them.
True.
So you kind of know more often what is probably going to be happening. You're probably going to get one of these four, only four secure.
That's true. There are fewer of them, and I think that allows you to maybe plan for them easier than the extracts. But in terms of dictating strategy, I don't know. That's why I feel like it's really not one way or the other, simply because, and I actually kind of fall the other way. I think maybe it's a little more on the extracts because there are so many and you never know what you're going to get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point, especially like looking at the point values. I mean, there's a 15, there's three 17s, an 18, a 19, and a 20. The point values are all over the place for the extractions.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, you know, I as a player, like, I'm not going to be bringing alien ship crashes downtown. That's just not my play style. I'm not going to be that's the Kree core. I'm not going to be bringing Skrulls infiltrate world leadership. That's not my play style, because each of those, it becomes a one token slow grind of a game. So personally, like, I don't think you ever have to worry about those with me. Now, granted, some other models might come out that make me change that opinion, but my play style is not one that uses those. But you don't know that. If we meet at a tournament, you don't know that one of my three extracts isn't one of those.
That's true. And, you know, I was just thinking as you were saying that, like, you know, I've noticed that a lot of people like to pick some of the same ones. Maybe it's a strategy in itself to pick something that most people don't. And then that in itself is a strategy to throw off your opponent as well.
Exactly. And I say that you wouldn't know, like, before the match, like, every, you know, rosters are revealed. So you would see that I didn't have those, or that I did have those, or whatever. But at the same time, let's say you and I meet at a tournament and, okay, there's four secures right now. I can expect that between the two of us, we're going to have all four, potentially. I mean, you know, there's might be one or two that you leave off the table, but it's a good bet that we'll have all four. But with the extracts, we could literally not overlap at all.
Very true.
And so for me, again, I think maybe I'm talking myself into the extracts more. Hang on. And part of the reason why I think that I'm talking myself into those extracts is because, one, I can build my roster around having a plan for those secures. But if I'm not flexible enough in my extracts, well, the extracts can run away with it, right?
All right. Yeah, you're starting to turn me here a little bit more towards extraction.
Why?
Because, well, now that I'm looking at the secures, like, it's three 17s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, there's not a lot of variety here.
Well,
like you said, you can plan for these three pretty easily because you know they're going to be there. Whereas here, you know, I could take Alien Ship Crashes Down and Fear Grips the World and, next you know, Mystic Wakanda Herbs. And I, like you said, you could have three totally different ones than the one I picked.
Right. And I will say that I do think in terms of, like, victory point scoring. So this is where I think it's kind of somewhat, it leans extract for me, but it also is, you can't say it's one or the other. And here's why I think that is. All right. So if you're playing Gamma Waves, you have to play the Gamma Wave, regardless of what the extract is. You have to play those secure, that secure objective, because if you don't, you're going to get run off the board because you can score a ton of points on, you're like, if you don't protect your close one, and you don't go after the middle one and you don't threaten the far one, well, you can get outscored really quickly. I mean, it's 6 points if you don't control any of them, or if you control all of them, that's 6 points. So you have that secure does dictate how the match is going to play. But Riot Spark over Extremis, okay, I can score one or two victory points pretty easily on that, and then depending on what the extract is, let's say it's Cosmic Cube, go pick up three or four cube fragments, and then it's a different kind of game, you know?
Totally different.
So I think that doesn't really... Extremis doesn't dictate how the match is going to be played. Same thing with Infinity Formula. Is Infinity Formula, you've got those... It's 4 points, and you want to honestly sit on two of them, but you don't have to sit on them if you have the right extract in play as well. For instance, if I've got Infinity Formula with the civilian tokens, Panic Grips the City as evacuation efforts continue, and that's the one where you can spend 6 power and turn in a civilian token for 2 points, right? So I would rather go get those civilian tokens and try to make that my victory condition than working on trying to secure 3 or 4 of those Infinity Formula things, you know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
But then go back to the fourth secure, and it's Deadly Meteors Mutate Civilians. That one is that's my personal favorite. I love that one. And it's the Origin Bombs. You'll hear me say Origin Bombs a lot. And that's the one where it's 3 in a line across the middle, but it's the person that is controlling the majority of those is going to score the points, and it's 3 points. So it's not as fast as Gamma Waves, but that one still dictates how you're going to score your points, because you're going to be able to get more points than more than likely you could get with any extract at one time, other than Wakanda Herbs. But you can't, but it's hard to score Wakanda Herbs on the first turn. So that's all of my 2 cents on that. Is like, the secures sometimes dictate it, but not always. And then same thing with the extracts. If you're playing Alien Ship Crashes Downtown and you're playing on 20 threat, well, then that's huge. And depending on what secure is with it, I mean, like, if that's Gamma Waves, watch out. That's Murder Fest.
That is one big line of death.
Exactly. But it's like, if you're playing Gamma Waves and Spider Infected, well, that kind of changes the game a little bit too, with like positioning and whatnot. You know what I mean? And I personally like bringing Spider Infected because it kind of messes with people's plans.
It especially if you couple it with Gamma Wave, like you said. Exactly. It really like entices people. Like, oh, you're not going to go get that? Maybe I could. And then you push up the middle.
Right. Right, it's like, okay, so you're going to ignore these Spider Infected because they're going to move your people off the points potentially. Okay, fine, but I'm still going to go get those and score those victory points.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a couple strategies you can use with that. So, it would seem, though, even though Gamma Waves basically can force you to go down the line, right?
Right.
These, like, Spider Infected, like the example you just used, really gives more choice, like, and it's a debate, like, in your mind, like, do I go get that? Oh, it's the victory points. Oh, who do I got? You know, it really, you kind of have to build around Spider Infected almost more than you have to build around Gamma Wave.
I think it's 50-50 in that, so you can't ignore those tokens, because if you do, well, then your opponent can go gather them up, and all of a sudden it's even Stevens again. You know what I mean? Like, you might control your close Gamma Shelter and the middle one, but then your opponent has 3 Spider Infected, you know? And then on the flip side of that, if you're running a focused on the kill list, you know, you're running a BDT type list where, you know, it's low activations, you know, 4 models, Cap, Hulk, Thor, or 3 models, Cap, Hulk, Thor. You know, if you're running that list on Gamma Shelters and you have a Spider Infected counter to it, if you pick up one token, it can really mess up your plans. So if you aren't able to secure the points, if you get go up against a list that has five or six active, six would be tough in Gamma Shelters, but if you have five activations to your three activation list, well, all of a sudden, I'm able to go grab a few spider infected and still mess with your plans on those gamma waves. You know what I'm saying? Like, so for me, it's kind of the Gamma Shelters dictates that you need to focus on those things in the middle, but if you pair it with the right extract, granted, you're not going to know, but if I'm expecting my opponent to play BDT, then I'm going to pick, probably going to pick the spider infected and hope that they go get one of them, because if they do, well, whatever character picked it up is now potentially out of a turn because they have to move back to wherever they were to do the thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to argue against that. It really is. I think I would have to go with extraction, honestly. It's just, for one, it's just, you know, it's so hard to explain, like, because there's so many of them.
Right. Well,
so many more.
So think about this. So my friend Andrew, who was on the show not that long ago, talked about if you're running a kill squad, trying to get the extract of civilians. He really likes that one. Or trying to get the alien ship crashes downtown or scrolls infiltrate world leadership, because it's only one token and you can essentially ignore it. And or if you do get it, well, then, okay, great. You've got it. But you can essentially ignore it and just stay focused on the kill and focused on trying to kill things, because at that point, then the opponent's probably going to be trying to go after the secure more than the extract at that point, because again, there's only that one token. Now, you can't fully ignore that single token, but let's say I'm running that kill list and I get lucky on the roll for the alien ship, right? Which I hate that roll personally, because it's like roll two dice and if you get a crit, good job. But it's like I've seen it where you can just do that like six times in a row and it just never works.
I've done it like six times in a row and my wife comes up and like rolls once. And
exactly. And
it's like, come on.
That's so frustrating. I mean, it is what it is, but like that's just part of the game. Dice are gonna dice. But like that kind of thing, that totally dictates your game. That totally dictates your game. Because if you do go after it, well, then you're putting resources towards that to try to grab that. I almost said secure that. To try to grab that token, you're putting forth resources, and then if you don't get it, well, then you're out of position, potentially, you know, and you don't have anything to show for your work. So it's, I do think that there's something to that strategy of playing those and then going after the kill and just saying, screw it, let my opponent try to, you know, spend activations rolling or power rolling to try to get this token that's only going to get them two victory points if they get it. And while they're doing that, I'm going to destroy them.
And not only that, in not just the alien ship, but you know, the spider infected or the fear grips world as worthy terrorized cities. I mean, there's an X factor to all of these, right? Like, yes. The interact spider, you know, moves your character without you wanting to. And the celestial hammer, you know, gives you more strength, but also costs more power. Like, yeah. there's just more that can change the game. Then with the secure, based on what I'm seeing in all of these.
Yeah. And
so
I think that you nailed it so good right there. I think is that changing the game with the extracts and breaking the rules a little bit with the extracts, in a sense, like Gamma Shelters, if you're not in there, you take one damage. One damage sucks, but one damage is one damage. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You can deal with that, right? Extremist consoles allow you to heal, but if you just sit back and never take damage, then that's pointless. You know? Like the Infinity Formula, you gain an additional power, but again, you have to sit back to gain that power. Origin Bombs. It's you could take a damage if you roll bad. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And that's just roll to take it. You know what I mean?
Right.
So nothing, no negative effect really for just being around them or not being around them. Whereas with, like you said, with your Fear Grips the World, the hammers, you know, you get an extra attack die. Your team tactics card costs an extra power. Like, that's huge.
That extra attack die. The Wakandan herbs. Herbs.
Herbs. It's just a nice guy named Herb. Super cool. Has some herbs for Herb.
we got the Mystic Wakandan Herbies.
Herbies. Yes, it's Herbie Hancock.
Gotta love that Tommy boy.
Oh, it's so good. But yeah, that one I think really dictates how you play. Like, if you pair Wakandan herbs with gamma waves, well, you've got a real choice to make.
Oh, big.
Because big. That Wakandan herbs is going to score you 4 points per turn if you can get it over there. But that's if you can get it over there and if you can get through that middle area without being detonated. But you get an extra attack die while you're holding an herb. So it's like, I mean, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I think that that the extracts really dictate things. And I also think that priority really comes into play with these in that if you're focused on the kill, like if you're running a kill list, then you want to have priority as much as possible.
And that's going to be even more prevalent once Thanos releases, because kill lists, you know, killing gives you victory points. So exactly. You're really going to be focused on kill lists if you're going to be running the Black Order, obviously.
Exactly. And at that point, I think if that is your strategy, then you want secures so that you can force gamma waves, I think. You want to force gamma waves, maybe, but at the same time, if you have alien ship and scrolls and then whatever else, I don't think it matters. Maybe civilians if you're running a kill list, because you can build up that power quickly potentially by doing a bunch of attacks and then, you know, pay the two or pay the six to score the two. Either way, I think you could actually look at, I just talked myself into it. You could look at it either way. You either want to force gamma waves or you want to force extracts so that way you can alien ship, scrolls, or whatever else. I mean,
yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely.
And you know, I mean, you know, so like if you go, if your roster has alien ships, scrolls, and hammers, okay, you know that no matter what, you're going to get either alien ship or scrolls when you go to draw from your roster. You know, mm-hmm. No matter what, you're going to get one of those if you're running a kill list. And then if your opponent has the secure choice and they pick gamma waves, well, then I would have a smile a mile wide. Because then you've just created a funnel for my kill list. Right?
Absolutely. And bring on Thanos. Thanos is just licking his chops at that right there. He's right. Like, come on, come here.
Come and get me, like that old comic book. Come and get me. Yep. So the one thing interesting about Thanos that you mentioned is, like, well, you have to remember, though, with Thanos on his healthy side, it's for when he KOs characters, not just dazes them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important thing to note.
Yeah. That's the goal, is to KO the team.
You want to kill the other team, so doing it while Thanos is healthy, I think, makes a lot of sense. So priority is another interesting topic that we can get into for a second here, and that depending on what you're playing is going to depend on whether or not you want priority. For me, I generally don't like having priority. I don't feel like I need priority in order to be successful, but I also play a style where I'm not really trying to kill everything, and I want everything I do to be in service of scoring victory points. And at, you know, part of that is attacking and slowing down your opponent, but I don't need to kill my opponent's players so much as the opportunistic days. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I play for the victory points and not the kill. priority has never been the most important thing to me. Like, I'll go in with four characters, like, whatever, you know. It's, if they come in with six, like, well, then I guess they got six, like, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it's more important to gun for the prior, for the victory points for me. And if I think my team of four is the right team to do it, then that's the way I go.
Yeah, and it's funny that you say that. So, like, for me, I like to have last activation more than anything, which is why I generally don't play with priority, because I would rather be able to have a Shuri who can push someone off a victory point, or, yeah, I don't use Spider-Man very often, but Spider-Man is useful for pulling it. It's still called a push in the game, but using his web line or whatever it is to pull someone off of victory point, or using Black Panther to get in there and push someone off a victory point while simultaneously scoring a victory point. You know, so I like stuff like that. I like to be able to decide at the last moment of a round where my victory points are going to come from.
I'm a little different. I like to hold points.
Okay.
I like to supplant myself there and reinforce and try to hold the point, if that makes sense.
You know, so like if you're on Infinity Formula, do you try to grab two of them and then bring your extracts over there, or how does that work?
Yeah. I try to grab two of them. Or if it's, I don't know, the extremist console, I'll actually ignore the one closest to me, even though it's a free point, because I would rather take the overwhelm my opponent.
Okay.
Yeah, at one of the points, so at least I have one of them. And then, like, I'll put, like, Shuri maybe on the other point, and she can just push him away for eternity because she's amazing.
She's awesome, dude. I do love Shuri, and I know that there's other tools out there to deal with her right now, but, man, like, her pushes, her upgrades ability is so good. Like, so good. She's so good.
She's fabulous, but we've fawned over her for a long time.
That's right. And go ahead though, continue.
I mean, you know, my strategy doesn't always work. I kind of sometimes I do play not so strategically.
Strategically, I like it.
Strategically,
word of the day.
And I'm just like, you know what? I like this character here because I want them there.
Look, look, at the end of the day, not everything has to be competitive. Like, I play this game to casually just to enjoy it, because it is so much fun to throw a building at someone or to try to rocket punch somebody or whatever, even though it has a low chance of success. Like, that stuff's fun to do. It creates fun moments, and that's what I love about this game in general, is, like, I can play this competitively, and we're obviously, when we are talking about our crises that we're choosing, we're talking about it in a more competitive light, but at the same time, just whatever you can do to have fun, just have fun, you know? Like, this game's great at creating those fun moments.
Absolutely. And I think I told you not too long ago that I made a team consisting of Star-Lord, Groot, Rocket, Black Widow, Winter Soldier, and Venom.
Oh my god.
And then I put a power stone on Star-Lord, and you're like, well, that's a ragtag team. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, I felt like playing with those characters.
Yeah, that's right. That is a heck of a team. And you know what? It's like you said, you felt like playing with those characters. There you go.
I won, but.
Well, that's neither here nor there. That doesn't matter. You won because it was a casual game. No, I'm kidding. No, that's awesome. And, like, that's the thing. Like, this game, you can put any kind of characters you want together. And, like, I haven't played yet with the new Black Order characters, but I'm so excited to just, like, put Corvus Glaive with the Reality Stone in every possible list that I can, just because it sounds ridiculous.
Oh, it does sound ridiculous. I'm assembling him tomorrow.
Nice.
It's when I planned out my assembly for Corvus Glaive, and I can't wait to do that. If we talk about, like, go back to real strategery, I do take into account sometimes, like, the threat value, like, hey, this might be a ragtag team, but like, what's the best way to fit for that particular extraction or secure? So I do, I do sometimes think, you know, think about it a little more, but sometimes I'm just like, you know what? I feel like playing Hulk today for no reason.
Right. Look, I'm with you. It's like, hey, I just want to play Hulk because that's a cool model and seeing that big thing on the table is fun. And it's funny that you say that. It's like, yeah, creating a whatever your roster is. Like, let's just say you're playing your roster. You know, having a roster that is flexible enough to react to whatever your opponent chooses is, I think, important. But also, you know, you got to be able to enjoy it when you're doing it. And if you don't feel like you're going to enjoy what you're playing, then you need to rethink it maybe.
Mm-hmm. And to come full circle back to our original point that we've been swayed to extraction here.
I am quite persuasive. Just ask my wife.
That when Fear Grips the World is picked, I think about that, like, what characters can I combine to make the most out of this extra dice? Like, I think about it pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that proves, like, I think about that more than I would Gamma Shelter, you know?
Oh, yeah. How can you maximize that extra die you're going to get?
Exactly, because, I mean, like, even if you throw a Hulk in there, he picks up a hammer. I mean, now Hulk is throwing another dice. I mean, what can he throw with a hammer? Like 14 total, maybe, in worst case scenario?
Yeah, something crazy. I think it might be more than that. I don't know. A lot.
A lot. So I think that proves that if I'm thinking more about, like, okay, what can I do? What characters can I bring in to effectively do this or effectively use, you know, the cube? Like, who needs the extra power? You know, mm-hmm. who can take the most damage? Then I think that's a testament that the extraction cards dictate it more than the secure cards, in my opinion.
So there you go. I think you made the case right there. And, you know, one character that I weirdly like picking up a hammer on is Corset Black Widow, because her attacks aren't great.
She needs them.
So, but you put a hammer on her, and people still think, oh, well, she's not much of a threat because she's only 2 threat over there. And it's like, but she's got a hammer. And she's got a potential to stagger you with that hammer because of her, Widow's Kiss or Widow's Sting?
Yeah.
Find the card.
Literally, you just, we think alike because literally what I was going to say. I have the worst luck with Black Widow. For whatever reason, I've run her to a point and she gets slaughtered for, like, I don't know how. Like, I always get the worst dice rolled against her.
Yeah.
And she always dies. And I never roll anything. I roll those 4 measly dice and nothing ever happens. But you add that 1 extra dice and for whatever reason it's a crit. And then you roll it and you hit a hit. And it's like, oh, Black Widow, thank you.
Dude, and that's exactly it. Like, it's so her strike has Widow's Sting, which is after this attack is resolved, the target character loses a power, which is really strong. And then her mixed technique, which only costs you 2 power, and you roll 4 dice, but if it does damage, it applies a stagger condition. 4 dice to do damage is so, it's not good. I mean, it happens. Don't get me wrong. Like, 4 dice versus 3 attack, you're still more likely to do damage, but at the same time, it's just not as consistent. But you add a 5th dice to that, or a 5th die to that, then all of a sudden, it's much more likely to do damage. Like, it ramps your likeliness to do damage up. So then you're applying the stagger. Then you have a higher chance to get that elusive, which is allows you to move short to get back into stealth range. I just, like, she's one of my favorite characters to put a hammer on because you just, like you said, you just don't see it coming. But I'm also like you. I run her up there. I'm like, I'm going to grab his hammer. We're going to do some stuff. And then, boom, she's detonated, drops the hammer.
It happens to me all the time. All the time. But I always like thinking, if I get her the hammer, she's going to be exponentially better with that extra die. Whatever it is, and I know you've talked about it in the podcast before, when you go from 4 to 5 dice, for whatever reason, you feel like you're just that significantly more powerful.
Oh, dude, it feels like you're a world beater at that point.
Yeah, it does. It does, especially with Black Widow. I mean, that 4 dice is just – I'm telling you, I never hit anything with that attack.
Never.
I swear, I don't hit anything.
Well, that's because you're doing it wrong. You should not be attacking with her. There you go. That's your problem.
there it is. I should just run up, take the hammer, run away.
So speaking of things that we're going to run away with, this podcast is going to go woefully off the rails here, because now I think it's time to talk about a little fluff. So this part of the show is just going to, it's just fun. It's totally speculative. And yeah, I think we're going to have a good time with this. So we're going to do just straight up wish lists. And Suits out there listening, let us know what you think. Let us know what would be on your wish list. And if you have any specific powers, attacks, whatever you want, kind of compare them to characters that are in the game right now. I think that would be a lot of fun. So yeah, let's do a little wish list, and I figure we'll just alternate. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
All right, dude. So why don't you go first with first wish list character? We'll go one at a time.
Okay, so my wish list, it's a wish list, right? I'm not going to say Wolverine or something like that. He's obvious, right?
Right.
And then, like, we would think, obviously, Wolverine is coming to the game. So my wish list includes a little few that are a little bit offbeat.
Oh, a little bit offbeat, a little bit obscure.
A little bit obscure.
Are we talking like Great Lakes Avengers obscure?
Oh, I don't know about that. Maybe.
Awesome.
But the first guy, and I hinted to you earlier today, I think,
yes,
is Strong Guy.
Well, the first guy is Strong Guy. Hey, he's a mutant, you say?
Yeah, so I guess we got to, you know,
Idris. Let's do it, Idris.
Reset the clock.
Awesome. Why Strong Guy? And how would you implement him in the game?
So Strong Guy, his superpower, obviously, well, I guess if you don't know who Strong Guy is, he was from the 90s.
So that should explain everything.
That explains everything. I'm 32 years old, 90s comics. That's what I grew up with. So he's got superhuman strength. And
with a name
technically,
like Strong Guy.
Huh?
I said with a name like Strong Guy.
Right? His name is Strong Guy, and if you look up a picture of him, you'll see, like, holy crap, that guy looks, why is his upper body so crazy huge? He technically could go toe-to-toe with the Hulk, strength-wise. Technically.
Oh, nice.
The problem is that he absorbs energy when he's attacked. So when he gets into a fight, he absorbs the kinetic energy and essentially, like, exerts it, right?
Right.
So I feel like they could play on that, you know? Maybe you take damage. The more damage you take, it's similar to maybe the Hulk, but not as strong because he's not the Hulk. But maybe something similar, where he could exert energy. Maybe he gets counters or something, and you spend them, and then you get to roll X amount of dice.
How about this? So you know, Captain Marvel has energy absorption, right? Whenever she's attacked with an energy attack, she gains power.
Correct.
What if whenever he's attacked with a physical attack, he gains power?
I like that idea.
You know, kind of like the inverse, like physical absorption instead of energy absorption.
I totally agree with that.
Cool. What kind of character would you compare him to? Like, Hulk is obvious, maybe, but like, would you say that, like, from a stamina perspective, would you, and what threat do you think he would be?
I think he would be more along the lines of what the Black Dwarf is.
Okay.
You know, maybe a four threat character, a little bit beefier in terms of stamina and strength of his attacks. He's probably not going to have that, you know, you take minus one damage because that's not how he is.
Right.
One thing is that he is incredibly intelligent. He's got I did my research. He's got the Bachelor of Arts in Drama from New York University. Did you know that?
That's pretty awesome. I did not know that he had that.
So his mental defense is probably going to be rather high.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, yeah, he'd probably be along the lines of the Black Dwarf because he's a bigger character. He's going to be a big boy on a big base.
Okay.
So he's going to be a beefy boy. His attacks are going to be, you know, similar to Black Dwarf in close range. He wears these giant glasses because he can't see very far.
Oh,
so,
nice.
So he's probably not going to be able to hit you from four, you know?
You would think, yeah.
You would think.
And his throw would have to be one of those, like, if it's within range two, throw it short type things.
Yeah, basically.
Because he had to have a throw.
He'd have to have a throw. He's a big boy. So that's how I think he would be implemented. You know, he's not going to be crazy strong like a five, but I think he could be a Black Dwarfish strength.
Okay.
Because he's technically one of the strongest characters in the Marvel Universe. Technically.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I like that. I think that sounds fun. Here's another question. Do you think he would move short or medium on a big base?
I think he would move short.
Interesting. See,
he wasn't very fast.
I would think
his upper body was really bulky and big. You think he would move medium?
Yeah, I think that I think he's a character that you could put him on a big base and move him medium, but his ranges are like super short on everything. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's a good balance. I didn't think of that when I was going through his bio.
Yeah.
Huh.
I just think that could be cool. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, he wouldn't be any world beater, but he'd be fun.
Yeah, and that's part of the game, his fun characters.
Exactly.
So my first character, and you're about to see a theme form, is I know I've talked about these characters on this show before, and you made a point. You said, you know, there's obvious characters that are obvious, so let's not talk about that. But I am going to talk about a few characters that are obvious because I feel like that, you know, maybe one of the designers listens to this and maybe they're going to be like, huh, that's a good idea. Let's get that on the table. So, yes, cat, thank you. the cat strikes again. It's not doing what it normally does, though, so that's a good thing. It's just meowing at me, or yowling at me, as we like to say in this house.
Anyways,
so my first character is going to be a member of Marvel's first family, and that's Mr. Fantastic.
Okay.
Yes, I totally want the Fantastic Four as a whole, and my first character choice is Mr. Fantastic. And in terms of intelligence, he is one of the smartest characters. He is arguably the smartest character in the Marvel Universe. And there are things out there where, like, you know, Moon Girl says she's the smartest, and oh yeah, Moon Girl's the smartest. But look, Reed Richards is Reed Richards. Like, he tried to solve everything at one point. You know what I mean?
He did. He did.
He pretty much did, and then broke everything. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, yeah.
So
failure doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Don't worry about that. It doesn't matter. So that's my choice, and I would probably put him at a. So I would want to have all of the Fantastic Four be able to fit into a 15-point list. But at the same time, I feel like that could be broken because I think they should all be really powerful, maybe. And
what? You'd think the Thing would be a very powerful big boy.
Right. Like, so I think
five or a six, right?
I don't think he'd be a six, but I think Reed would be a five. And I think that you could do something where all of his attacks are range three or longer, right? I think he should have abilities that allow him to stagger people or slow them or something, like, because, you know, one of the things that he does a lot is like wrap up enemies,
right,
a lot of the time. So like I want some way to, like, he would be able to be placed within range one, and if he's within range one, then that enemy is slowed or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think that could be kind of cool. Like, if he's within range one of an enemy, then enemies move slow. So, like, his placement becomes really important, but it also makes him vulnerable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like that.
And then,
I think that fits well with the character, to be honest.
Right. And then from a leadership perspective, I think that's where I have a hard time, like, figuring out how I want to implement the Fantastic Four, because, like, I like the idea of making a leadership ability that is somewhat like Shuri's, where it's, but, like, he passes power around as like encouragement. And I definitely also think that he needs to have an ability like her one where when she rolls the failure results, she gets a power. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that should be definitely on his card as well. But like from a leadership perspective, like some kind of like he in, you know, in super genius leadership where he, I don't know. That's the one I have. That's the thing I have a hard time coming up with, is what I would want the Fantastic Four leadership to be.
Yeah, because you'd have to figure out something that, one, I mean, a lot of this is like thematic, right? We're thinking thematically about the leadership. What does Fantastic Four bring to the leadership, and how do we implement that into Crisis Protocol? It's difficult. It's not as easy as you think. And this, you know, it makes me think, like, you know, the Atomic Mass Games is sitting over there going, how the hell, what do we do?
What do we do? Exactly. Yeah. So like that's the thing, like with that, it's like, I want it to be thematic, but I want it to fit within the game. Like for, let's look at Wakanda's leadership as an example, pay a power, get a reroll. I would have never thought about that as like the what Wakanda would do. You know what I mean? But it makes sense. So,
yeah, it does.
Like, I think something to do with maybe a power generation, but in a different way than Cabal does it. And like maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe something with the superpowers that's like every time you use a superpower, you get a power back, but you have to use that superpower first. Maybe, I don't know, that might be broken.
Or maybe something, because they're the Fantastic Four, right? They're together all the time. Maybe a leadership ability that benefits when they're in proximity of each other?
Ooh,
attacks or something.
Yeah, they get a plus one die on their attacks or something when they're within range three of each other or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
That could be
because
cool.
They're a team, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's I like that. That's a good idea, yeah. So I definitely like that. And then I definitely think that he should have like three attacks and like two of them be physical, and like his basic attack be a physical and his big attack be a physical. And then like he has an energy attack where it's like he, because he's a super genius, he pulled out some super weapon or something, you know what I mean? Like something like that.
Okay.
And then I definitely think that he should have some kind of reroll defense ability. Maybe like something like Spider-Man spider sense instead of, and because he's flexible, you know, it makes his damage absorption a little better. Like he shouldn't have the invulnerable thing where he reduces damage, but I definitely think like a Zemo strategic mastermind reroll thing would be really cool on him, because not only is he able to get into tight places and attack from different angles, but he's also able to defend well by dodging and stuff like that because of his flexibility.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that's a perfect way to do it, because he's not, like you said, he's not gonna get invulnerable because, you know, he's not, but
right, that would be
because
the thing.
He's so flexible. I mean, you could punch him and you know, he wouldn't do as much, or maybe he could dodge it, that Baron Zemo role. I think that's a perfect combination with Mr.
Yep.
Fantastic.
And then the only other thing I would say is like I wouldn't want to make him immune to throws, but like anything size 3 or less doesn't affect him, or reduces damage by 1 when he gets thrown at, because again, he's that flexible guy. Like he can, you know, dodging, you know, some kind of bonus to the dodge or something like that. Because, and this is why I would want him to be, I think, threat 5, is because like he should be really defensive and minimally offensive, but be able to affect the game more so than in an attacking capacity.
I think you summed him up pretty well.
Yeah.
To be honest, like you nailed it with Mr. Fantastic.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. What's your next one?
All right. So maybe this one isn't as offbeat, especially with Marvel Champions having her in the core set. But it's the cousin of Bruce Banner himself, Jennifer Walters, a.k.a. She-Hulk.
Yes, yes, that sounds fun. I would love to see She-Hulk in this game.
Now, one of my personal things is that I love female superheroes. I don't know why. It's just a thing that I really like. Female superheroes, women superheroes, for whatever reason. And She-Hulk has always been a superhero I've really liked for a long time.
Yeah.
And I, you know, obviously she's not going to be like she's not going to be a sixth threat Hulk, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she's extremely strong. She's going to throw a lot of dice. She's probably going to have the power generation, extra power generation, because she just, yeah, she's got Bruce Banner's blood, gamma radiation running through her veins.
Right.
So
size 4 throw coming at you.
Size 4 throw, you know, she's going to throw size 4. She can also maybe have an area attack. I know area attacks aren't always the biggest thing. I mean, the Thor's area attack, situational. But she can cause huge explosions because of her gamma radiation inside of her. So maybe a nice area attack is one of her three. I think she should have 3 attacks.
Okay.
She's also, unlike Bruce, she's not, she maintains her intelligence and her cool when she turns into the Green Monster. So her mental stability is going to be, and her mental defense is going to be even higher than Hulk's. Hulk's is 3? Yeah, yeah, 3. So hers is maybe 4, probably.
Oh, that'd be strong. She's,
yeah, well, she is a lawyer.
She is a lawyer. She is a smart person.
She's an attorney. So she went to a difficult school, got a good job. As for threat, I mean, the bias in me wants 5, but I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Probably not. She's probably a 4.
I don't know, man. I think a 5 and you give her a big chunk of stamina and make her not that, like, I think she should be close enough to Hulk to where, like, I could see it being something like 15 health with a little bit higher defenses and no injured side.
I mean, that could definitely work for her. I mean, she is literally She-Hulk, right?
Right.
Hulk is in her name.
Right.
So I guess modeling her after the Hulk, except give her higher defense, please.
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 Yeah.
My biggest complaint about Hulk is that he's so dang squishy.
Yes.
But I'm thinking 3 attacks, a strong throw, extra power gain.
Definitely.
And yeah, I think she's pretty set with most of that, unless you think that there's a superpower that she should have.
I don't know if I think that, like, specifically as it relates to the game, like current powers that we've seen in the game, but definitely something where her lawyer skills, like, I think that could be something cool, like some ability called like objection or something where she does something. I don't know. I would have to be reactive.
That got me a little tingly there. That was, I like that.
Objection. Yes.
Objection.
Yes. So, you know, something like that I think could be cool just from a, like, titling it. I don't know what that ability could be. Maybe, maybe if someone gets attacked within range of her, she can object to that attack and maybe do an attack back, like a basic attack back if she's within range.
Ooh, I like that.
Or maybe it's like a bodyguard type thing.
Oh yeah, she could have a bodyguard type thing. Because, and then maybe because she's so smart, maybe if it's a mental attack, she does better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, but that's She-Hulk. Eventually she's going to come to the game. Obviously, she's probably an obvious one, but nobody ever talks about She-Hulk, so.
No, you're right.
I thought I'd bring it up.
No, I like it. So my next character is it's going to be another one of the first family because all 4 of mine are the first family.
I caught on to you after the first one.
I figured that most people did. Like I said, there's a reason I chose 4. So let's talk about Reed Richards' better half, Susan Storm. And she, to me, is a character that is just, I mean, it's, she's so strong and so powerful, but she never, like, really busts out with that power.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, she's always saying, like, you know, I could create an air bubble in your brain that and expand it until you die, but I don't. But I don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, she says that kind of stuff.
So can she really do it?
Well, I definitely think she could. Like, because she's super powerful, dude. Like, she's shown a lot of power in the comics before, but, like, stuff like that is, I think, really cool. But I definitely think she should be, like, a 4 threat character.
Mm-hmm.
And she should definitely have, I think, like, she should be on the squishier side of 4 threat characters, even though she's really strong, but she should be able to, like, have energy barriers or something. Like, so I think, unfortunately, this game's not built for, like, more than just the circle tokens, but, like, some kind of, like, way to say that she's inside of an energy barrier, but she has to, like on Vision, right? Like, how Vision has to choose a type of defense at the beginning. Instead of that, she has maybe a reactive power where she is able to activate an energy barrier for 2 power when she gets attacked. And then she gets to add defense dice. So kind of like Vibranium Shield, but with a different name.
Yeah, I was just thinking that as you were talking it through. I'm like, yeah, add dice. You know, you do the barrier, it gives you more defense dice for that particular attack.
Yep.
I think that fits extremely well with the character.
Right. And I also think that she should have farther ranged attacks. Like, I'd like to see her strike be, like, all of her attacks should be energy. 100%. Like, she should not have any, like, maybe a mental attack, but really she doesn't do, like, mental damage. But all of it should be energy. And then I think that you make her shortest range attack. So I think this would be, I can't remember any other characters in the game right off the top of my head that have a strike that is farther than range. Oh, I guess Black Tongue on Ebony Maw is range 4. But like a strike that is far range other than Dr. Octopus, because his is range 3, but like something like that, like make her strike range 3. And
I say do it.
And then all of her other attacks are range 4 or maybe range 5. And then I definitely like having her as the idea of something similar to Shuri's pushes, because of her ability to move things around with those force fields and stuff. And then I also like some kind of placement effect the theme here with most of these is some kind of a out of activation movement or placement effect. Like with Mr. Fantastic, I said it was like he can place somehow, or when he's within range 1 of people, it affects them. With her, I think maybe being able to have something like Hawkeye's hook arrow that can allow movement, like, or a placement up to range 3 because of using her force fields to move around. She's, you know, done that in the comics many times. And then I also think, again, that this could be that reactive superpower that I talked about from her defenses could be applied to a character that's within range 3 of her. So, like, if she is within range 3 of Reed, she could energy barrier when he gets attacked to give him 2 extra defense dice, but then she can't do it on her turn. Like, so it's like a once per turn thing. What do you think of that?
I like all of it. I think it fits the character very well.
Yeah,
I think thought about these very, very, very nicely. I really like this.
These are my favorite characters. Like, and anyone that's listened to the show for a while, you know this. Like, I love Moon Knight. I love the Fantastic Four. I love the X-Men. I love all of this stuff. And I've talked about plenty of characters. And look, Moon Knight is one I really want. But the four, the number one A1 characters on the wish list are the Fantastic Four for me. It's not even a question. So that's why I'm going with these characters. And I think that Reed and Sue are the support characters of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as we'll see with the other ones, we'll see what they do in a second. But that's kind of Sue, I think, overall.
Yeah, see, that makes me think that them being the support characters, it makes me think even more that the leadership ability that Mr. Fantastic gives off is some sort of support leadership ability, 100%. Like we talked about. Yeah, I think that fits really well. And then she does the pushes, like an overpowered Shuri, because she deserves to be stronger than Shuri. Let's be honest.
Well, yeah, four threat and just a little bit stronger than Shuri. I think that something where she roll, like, her initial thing has that push built in, but it only rolls 5 dice instead of Shuri's 6. And maybe it's an if this attack deals damage qualifier to get the push, maybe.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe something like that to make it consistent enough, but not guaranteed. Like Shuri's is, but then
yeah, I like that.
Her later, like her big attacks, do stuff like maybe the root special condition where you have to spend an extra power to do different things, or stun. I think a stun would be really strong. I think that'd be really cool on her. Like pretty much any special condition that you can use other than slow. Like I don't think slow would be good too, because like she's putting a barrier around someone, keeping them from moving. So yeah. Cool. What's your next one?
All right, my next one. This one is definitely my my least inconspicuous one. it, like I said just a second ago, or not that long ago, I like my big boys. Okay.
Okay.
I like my big boys. I want Rhino. I want Rhino. I want him in his original gray suit. I don't want none of that mechanical crap like the in the.
I'm with you on that.
In that Spider-Man movie, we're not going to talk about.
It was amazing, right?
But I want myself some Rhino to pair up with the eventual spider foes.
Yes.
Really excited about that. But,
okay, so how would you build this Rhino? Because I've got to know.
All right, so this is going to be complete bias in every way, shape, and form. Rhino is a 5-threat character.
Oh,
he's a big boy.
That's awesome.
Well, if you think about it, Rhino. Oops. Ooh, geez, hit my mic on accident. Rhino.
I'm so excited.
Rhino was first seen in issue 41 of The Amazing Spider-Man, way back in like what, 66?
Yeah, that's pretty. Something
like that in the 60s.
Yeah.
He's been a huge villain of Spider-Man for forever.
Right.
You know, he's been a main staple, and I think a main staple deserves a 5-threat, especially if they're a big boy.
Right.
As we know about Rhino, he likes to charge. So yes. I'm giving him a charge.
Obviously.
He's Rhino. He's obviously going to charge. So that's his MO.
So I know you've thought about this, and I am trying to interrupt, but we're talking about it, so I think this is fun. So if you give him a charge, if he charges, does he roll an extra die maybe? Because he's got the horn and everything.
He absolutely should.
I think that could be a fun play on the charge ability.
Absolutely. Because he's got that extra power. Like, you know the big boy's coming. You know he's got to charge. And you know he's going to roll more when he charges.
Yeah.
So that would be one of his superpowers. I don't know about his I didn't really think too much about his strikes. I mean, he'd probably have a basic strike. He's going to throw a lot of dice in his attacks. He probably doesn't need that many, maybe 2 attacks.
Yeah.
He's going to be very – I mean, that Rhino suit is very durable. He's got huge durability and incredible stamina. So he's going to be very difficult to take down.
Okay.
He's got a throw, obviously. He's a big boy.
Obviously.
Big boy's throw.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got a size 4 throw. Him and Hulk have squared off in the comics before. I don't know if you've
– They have?
They have.
I don't know who won. Obviously, Hulk won, but you know.
You know, it's
Rhino
it's
held his own.
Hulk wins like all the time. Like, that's
usually.
usually, yeah, right. And yeah, I mean, I think based on his durability, he probably gets something along the lines of the invulnerability ability.
Okay.
Because he's so durable. But I think his card, even though he's a big boy, high threat character, I think his card is relatively simple because Rhino's kind of a simple brawler, right?
Hey, more than one way. He's pretty simple.
Yeah, he's very simple. He comes in. He wants to charge you. He wants to brawl you. He doesn't know martial arts, right? He just wants to come in and pound. Like that's all he
does.
He's
just going to take it on down to Pound Town, right?
Exactly. He doesn't have any crazy leap like Hulk.
Right, yeah.
Or anything like that. So his card probably is simple for a 5-threat character, in my opinion.
Yeah, so based on what you were saying there, I'm thinking definitely 2 attacks. First attack, both of them be physical. First attack be 5 dice. If he charges, it goes up to 6. Right? Second attack be 7 dice. If he charges, goes up to 8. And cost maybe 3 power. Right?
Right.
And then if he and both of his attacks have a pierce, a wild pierce.
Yes.
Because of the horn.
Because of the horn.
Right. His big attack has a wild throw also. And then maybe you do a double wild effect like with Loki, or maybe like a double crit effect where if you roll both of those things, then Rhino does an additional point of damage because of his horn impaling the character. Like thematically, call it impale. You know, like Loki's thing is mesmerize. Like Rhino's could be impale. And it's like, okay, you know, it's an like pierce is almost an extra damage, but some kind of thing where it's like a double like a double wild or a double crit or maybe a crit and a wild, and then something extra happens. Definitely a pierce on both of them, and maybe it would be maybe a double wild throw, or something. But I think that a throw should be built in on the big attack.
Oh, for sure.
And if there's a throw built in on the big attack, maybe make it 4 power. You know?
Yeah.
So, and then like his superpowers, I'm with you, a throw and definitely some kind of damage reduction, like by 1 to a minimum of 1. Here's the question though with this character. Does he get dazed? I think yes. I don't think we make him like Hulk where he doesn't have an injured side. I think he would get dazed, but I think like a 7 health, like Venom, 7 stamina on his healthy side, 6 on his injured side with the damage reduction.
I could see that. I could also see it maybe because of his like high stamina. I mean, that's a really big thing about him. According, you know, he can theoretically like basically just brawl out for an entire 24 hours before being exhausted and right. all that stuff. Maybe do the opposite. Maybe 6 on the front. Or 7 on the back.
Okay, yeah. Or maybe 6 and 8.
He's got less. Or yeah, something like that.
That'd be cool. I think with the damage reduction, that can get crazy. But
crazy out of hand. So yeah. Maybe we'll nerf him a little bit.
Yeah. I think 7 and 6 or 7 and 5, one way or the other, would be good. Yeah. What about his defenses? I think mental defense would have to be 2.
Oh, his mental defense is atrocious.
Yeah, and everything he's else. And his energy 3, physical 4. That'd be an interesting
stat
line.
To me.
That'd be interesting. Okay. I really like that. I think that's a fun character. I think that could be a lot of fun. And definitely Spider Foes. Like, I can't wait for Green Goblin. We all know this.
My gosh, Green Goblin is... I'm totally with you on the hype for Green Goblin. That model one is... Oh, my gosh.
Dude, I don't see... All right, everybody has their own opinion. They are like assholes. Everybody has one. But... you're an asshole if you don't think Green Goblin is the best sculpt. I'm kidding. You're not an asshole if you listen to the show. I love y'all. You know that. I'm just joking. But that sculpt is amazing. It's amazing. So he's good. On the glider, throwing a pumpkin bomb, smoke trailing up from underneath. What's not to love about that?
He's got the pumpkin bombs. It's just,
he's throwing a pumpkin bomb.
It's so good. It's so good, and Green Goblin is so iconic.
Oh god, yes. I know. I said it. I don't know if you listened to the after party me and Nate did with Doc Ock, and I was like, you know, arguably and the, you know, Spider-Man's greatest foe, and Nate's like, no, it's Green Goblin. I'm like, I said arguably for a reason, because Green Goblin's a thing. That's just Green how it Goblin, goes. So anyways, moving on, my next character is going to be the Thing. And let's be honest, he's going to be a simple guy. The Thing is, he's not a dumb guy, but he's simple in, I think, his character design. One, I think he gets a Thanos level damage reduction, where it's just automatic, no by one to a minimum of one, just damage reduction 1, period.
Okay, so you're thinking he's going to be extremely high threat here.
I think he's going to be 5 threat. I think he's going to be 5 threat, and I think you give him... I'm unsure about whether or not I would want him to have an injured side or not. If you don't give him an injured side and you reduce his damage by 1, period, I think 15 threat. Or sorry, 15 threat.
Woo! You're taking Thing into every single one.
Exactly. I think 15 stamina.
That could be a lot of fun.
But he'd have to be 5 threat, and he'd have to be pretty simple. So 2 attacks, 1 free one that's 6 dice with a throw, a big one that's 4, maybe 5 power that rolls 8 dice like a Hulk smash, and does a stagger, does a throw, like almost... very similar to that. Maybe you give him 1 additional attack. Maybe. Obviously, all 3 of them would be physical. But I definitely think that he gets the throw. He gets physical attacks. And I think his attack should be beefy. His throw, size 4. Like, he has literally gone to a stalemate with the Hulk.
Oh, for sure.
So, like, the Thing is the thing. He is super, super strong. So I definitely like the idea of not limiting his throw on his... So like his throw that you pay for, size mm-hmm. four. But his
size four for sure.
Right, but his throw that you can get on the attack, like Thor's throw, like his on his strike, like Thing's throw would have no restriction. Just you get to throw. So that way, if they ever come out with a size five character, he could potentially throw that character, which I think would be cool.
I'm on board with everything you've said.
Yep.
We've established. I love the big boys.
Yes, you do love the big boys. And I think his mental defense would have to be two, because he's not a dumb character. Like Rhino as a character is not smart.
Yeah, he's dumb.
Like, he's a dumb guy.
Mm-hmm.
He gets outsmarted easily. But the Thing is not dumb, but he, I think, like, representatively, he's just not up to snuff in the intelligence department like some of the other ones are.
And, you know, Thing has a little bit more leeway to make bad decisions, right? Because of the way he is. Like,
exactly.
He can run in and just start pounding Hulk. Like, you know.
Exactly.
Mr. Fantastic isn't going to do that. He won't last. But the Thing can just be like, yeah, let's go, you know?
Exactly. And I think...
Which isn't the smartest thing. I mean, that's...
That's exactly right. And I think that he should have some kind of ability where when he's within range three of a Reed, because they're best friends, that he should be able to do like the Corvus Proxima thing where if Reed activates, then the Thing can activate. If Thing activates, Reed could activate.
Mm-hmm.
Or, this could be interesting, you could make that a one-way street where after Reed activates, the Thing could activate, but not vice versa.
Ooh.
I think that could be interesting timing thing as well. So that would be a superpower. I also think that having some kind of way for him to buff dice when he's like engaging something, I think maybe. I don't know. Like,
oh yeah, like pay three power and throw two dice.
Yeah, add
like
two
that.
Dice to your next attack. Something like that. Something simple but like strong to just, you know, make it to where it's not super efficient from a power perspective, but make it to where, you know, it shows that this character is a beater.
Totally makes sense for this character.
Right.
Completely makes sense.
Right. But just keep it, you know, make it almost like the Black Dwarf's card. Like just couple of attacks, just a few superpowers. And yeah, I think simple guy. I think big base, move short for sure.
Mm-hmm. He's a rock, after all.
Exactly. He is a rock. I would love to see some kind of out of activation movement, but I don't know if it should come from him or if it should come from like Sue being able to, like, it maybe putting a power on Sue where she can place someone within range two. I know I talked about her placing range three for herself, but maybe she could place someone else range two, kind of like Thanos's places.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. She might have that ability to be able to move a character, advance a character,
right,
short or something.
Yeah, exactly. I think that
would really help a character cool. Like the Thing.
Yep, and I think so I think the Thing, and I also think here's a fun thing that we haven't really seen yet. I don't know how you would have to completely change the rules for this, but like the Thing can, if the Thing moves and would climb, if he would have to climb, instead that piece of terrain is destroyed.
Oh.
Right? So like he just goes.
And oh, I love that.
You know what I mean? Like if he runs into a building, he doesn't climb up that building is now rubble.
I love that.
I think that could be
really
cool.
I don't know if that's something AMG would do, but
no.
I personally love it. And this is our wish list, so that's what matters.
Exactly. I don't give a shit what they would do, but hey guys, take this advice, please.
Right.
So yeah, that's my Thing. Giggity.
I love it.
So what is your next? This is the last one. Yeah, what's your last one?
So the last one is my favorite Marvel character. It's obscure. Maybe some of you have never heard of him. We're going to have to reset the clock again with Idris.
Hey,
sadly.
He's all about that life.
He's all about that life. is Lucas Bishop.
Ah, yes. The old Bishop. Please and thank you. 90s characters abound here.
Yes. Like I said, I'm a 90s kid. That's the comics that I read, mostly. So that's what I love.
Okay, so how would you implement Bishop? Because that's a character that is very interesting.
He's very interesting. He can do a lot of different things.
Exactly.
On one hand, he can be like Winter Soldier, where he has that rifle. But it's an energy rifle, so it would be an energy attack. He can attack you from range 4 with the energy rifle. But because he has special abilities like energy absorption, he can do more. You know, he can take your power. He can unleash that power. So he can have a literal energy attack against you, not just shoot his fancy energy gun.
Okay.
He's a marksman, so his weapon is definitely gonna be in play that he uses. So I'm thinking maybe he's got 3 attacks, your basic strike, which might be a rifle attack, or the energy weapon attack, some sort of attack where he takes energy absorption, like we've talked about with Captain Marvel, maybe something similar to that.
So that would be his defensive ability to be like energy absorption, but maybe one of his attacks has sap power, a wild sap power.
Sap power, that's the one I was looking, that was the attack I was looking for. That was the ability. Sorry, thank you for reminding me of sap.
Teamwork power. Makes the dream work, my friend.
That's right. These are going to be relatively powerful attacks because I am extremely biased. With Lucas Bishop.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
So, in reality, they probably make him a 3. I'm making him a 4.
Well,
because,
I mean, just why wouldn't you? I've made all of my characters ridiculously powerful, so there you go.
Yeah. So he's going to be powerful. He's going to be strong. His superpowers is something I was mulling over, and obviously some sort of energy – play into that energy absorption somehow, because that's such a mainstay of
– Oh, yeah.
Of Bishop, it's who he is. I mean, if you saw the movie back in 2014, that's how long it's been since that movie came out.
Days of Future Past, which they did not do him justice.
They did not. They did not. He is amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Like I said, very, very biased towards him. He's got that right arm, that battle, you know, that mechanical battle arm, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So maybe he's got an up close and personal attack. He's got really, he wears this, you know, type of body armor that maybe gives a reroll. Let's give him a reroll.
Yeah.
I don't think reducing damage is the right play for him, but maybe doing like a Baron Zemo, like you get one reroll, you know.
Yeah.
Like it's your body armor or something, you get a reroll.
So he gets the energy absorption when he gets attacked by energy, but if it's physical, he gets a reroll.
That's right. That's perfect.
Yeah.
But you know, you're helping me so much with this.
Hey man, it's like I said, teamwork. It makes the dream work.
Because I did put this together while I was working, so I was literally trying to do multiple things at the same time. So
hey man, multitasking. I love it.
I think he's just an all around good character.
Cool.
I mean, he's not stupid, so his mental defense is going to be low.
I think it'd be a 3 across the board defense character, and then just those couple of defensive buff abilities kind of make up for the kind of basic defense abilities.
Yeah, I agree with that. But he's definitely going to be able to hit you from a distance. So
definitely. So
Bishop is going to be able to hit you from a distance. So you got to watch out for him.
How about this? Let's think about this for a second. So. 4 threat character with 6 stamina on his healthy side and 6 on his injured side. So just 6 on both sides.
Sounds
3s across the board defense, 3 attacks, and 2 of them are free attacks. He has a 4 dice, maybe 5 dice rifle attack. I think 4 dice on the rifle attack would probably be good. It's somewhat similar to Winter Soldier in that regard, but maybe give it a wild effect where if he rolls a wild, it takes a power away, not saps power, but takes a, like Widow's Sting takes a power, loses one power, right? Because it's an energy rifle. But his strike could be like Ultron, where he gets to, like, so Ultron gets to choose. I don't remember. I think it might be Metallic Fury, where he gets Metallic to choose whether it's physical or energy. So he chooses physical or energy for his strike, which would be really cool. So it's free attack, five dice, sap power on a wild. Right?
I love that.
And then he has a big energy attack that's maybe seven dice for four power. And if, you know, it has a wild effect or an if it does damage effect, which would be awesome. And if it does damage, it's a sap power or a wild sap power.
I am on board. You just made Bishop excellent attack-wise.
I just think that sounds like something like that could be really cool. And then, like,
I think it fits well with his character.
Right. And because of his like maybe the strike should be sap power and then the big attack be a stun instead. Or, you know, some other kind of fun thing. Or maybe because it's like he's reflecting that energy back that he absorbed, it does a stun and then it has an explosive effect where everybody within range two of the target character takes one damage on a wild.
I like that. That works.
Yeah. And then from a superpower perspective, and by the way, for anyone listening to this, I hope y'all are enjoying this discussion. I am literally thinking of this stuff on the fly, so I'm enjoying this.
We're making this up as we go. We're just like, literally, I just looked at Bishop. I'm like, huh, maybe he'll have this.
Yeah. So let's think about his superpowers. I do not think he should have a throw. Even though he is a strong character, I do not think a throw would work with him.
Correct. I believe so as well.
I do kind of like the idea of maybe giving him two power off the jump, like an Asgardian. But I think maybe you would rather him steal power from someone else than have two naturally. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I was actually thinking something along the lines of maybe Red Skull. You know how he can
generate power.
He generates power, but you got to throw some dice. You might take a couple damage. You might not. You might not take any damage, and you get three power.
Right.
So maybe something like that too.
What if he's within range two of a friendly character? That friendly character can transfer a power to him.
I feel like that would be really on point.
You know what I mean?
All of these things would kind of work. Yeah.
Wow, we're just nailing it. I love it. We should be game designers, I guess.
We should.
So, I love Bishop, dude. I love that. That sounds really cool.
That sounds like the best part about this, right? So far, before we get to your last one, which we know who it is.
Obvious characters are obvious, after all.
This must be how Atomic Mass Games feels when they're just sitting in a room with a pen and paper, and they're like, "Man, what are we gonna do for Green Goblin?" You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
dude, yeah.
Oh, we can do this and this, and he can do this and this and this and this and this. And they got a list of like 30 things, and they got to turn it down into one.
So
card.
I imagine that there's that one person. So like Schick and Pagani and Dallas, they're all like really big comic book fans. I don't really know about Josh, like what his background is, but I know specifically like Schick and Dallas are big time comic book fans. And I know Pagani is a little bit more measured, but he is a big time comic book fan too. But like, I bet it's like Schick and Dallas going like, oh, and this, and oh, and that, and oh, and this. And then like, there's one person in there. I don't know who it is, but one of them is in there like, guys, tone it down a notch.
Not every character can be a sixth threat character. Okay?
Exactly. Let's not break the game here. So, speaking of breaking the game, we're going to have Johnny Storm as the last one of the show here. And for me, Johnny, it's three threat. Like, he's got to be three threat. Like, yes, Johnny Storm's a powerful character in a lot of ways. But, I mean, I think he's a three threat character through and through. I think all of his attacks are energy. No question about that. Mm-hmm. And then I think that everything he does is from range. I think an area attack would be really awesome. Like you said on, what was it, She-Hulk? I think an area attack would be awesome. And I think that area attack should, the range of that area attack should get larger the more damage he has.
Ooh.
So I think he should be rather squishy in a sense. Like, he should have a high energy defense. So four energy defense, because He's made of fire.
Right.
Physical defensive three, mental defensive three, but he should have a, like, his area attack. So I think he should have like 5 stamina on each side. Right. So only 10 right. health total, which is on the squishy side. But if he has 4 damage on him, then his area attack could get up to range 4, which would be super broken.
Woo!
Or maybe it maxes out.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe it maxes out at range 3, but it's like, let's say it's an area attack that can get up to range 4, but it only rolls a maximum of 5 dice or something like
that. Yeah, that would be a lot better, because you could roll 5 dice, and we know Crisis Protocol could be 0.
Right. I mean, and look, 5 dice against 3 defense is still like, that's, I'm banking on 2 damage. Like, you know, it could obviously not go that way, but like, I feel like that's at least not necessarily mass death, but at the same time, like, I like the idea of his ability being like to go like a supernova, like explosive force thing.
And I also think that this is a perfect chance to add a new condition.
Ooh. On fire?
On fire. Burned.
Burned? Yes.
Burned.
Burned. But I know there's a superpower that, or like, there's a condition that does that. All right. So, yeah, just now going through the rule book, there is a condition in there called Incinerate, and it is a character loses 1 die on their defense rolls. Perfect.
You know, I didn't know that existed. So I want to give myself props for thinking the same way that Atomic Mass Games thought.
There you go. Okay, clearly.
I want to say that.
This whole discussion,
I didn't know that existed.
This whole discussion has basically said we should be designers and we should work for Atomic Mass Games. Done and done.
Yeah, exactly. Then he gets Incinerate.
Yeah, then he gets Incinerate. There
Human
you go.
Torch gets Incinerate.
And I honestly think that every one of his attacks should have it. Now, that's probably too much. I know. But come on. He's a dude made of fire throwing fireballs at people.
Is that one of his attacks?
Well, fireball? Obviously, fireball. You can't not have fireball.
And well, then he has to have incinerate on it. He's got it. Maybe it's like a wild. Do you roll a wild? And
yeah,
it's incinerate.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, like their clothes catch fire.
Automatic incinerate. Oof.
Yeah, yeah, not automatic. Like his big attack. Like I think his area attack should be the big attack, and I think it should cost like 4 power. So that way, it's like, you know, 4, maybe 5 power. So that way, you know, if he doesn't spend his power on other stuff and he takes some damage, then it can balloon out range-wise to range 4. Mm-hmm. Like, starts at range 1, so not very good. And then as he takes damage, it goes up to a maximum of range 4. But you also got to think, if you do that, you're also going to damage your friendly characters that are within that range too.
True.
So you have to...
be careful.
Yeah, so I think it's like a risk-reward ability with him, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, you don't necessarily want to use it when it's going to be range 4. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's definitely reminding me the way we're going along with this. He's reminding me of a similar to a little bit more glass can, a powerful glass canyon, like,
yes.
Rocket.
He's yes.
Very rockety.
Definitely.
Which I love. I love Rocket. I think Rocket is a lot of fun. To have this little low threat character that's squishy, but throws boatloads of dice and can totally kick your butt if you don't pay attention to him.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that, so I think his attack should be something like that, you know, like two, like his strike should be his fireball should be his strike, and that should be like 4 dice, maybe 5 dice, or 4 dice with a wild incinerate energy, right? And it's free. And then his second attack, I think 3 attacks would be good. His second attack would be like a 1 dice thing with like a hammer throw that applies the shock condition and the incinerate condition on a wild.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Because, yeah, he doesn't shock per se, but like losing shock. Shock is the one I was thinking of where you lose an attack die. Anyways, so like applying that shock condition and that incinerate condition for maybe costing 2 power.
Ooh.
And his... by the way, I didn't say this, on his fireball attack, it's an automatic gain 1 power instead of equal to damage dealt.
Okay, that tones him down a bit.
Yeah. Well, it's 4 dice. I said 4 dice, so like I think that mm-hmm. just keeps his power generation consistent instead
of
dependent on doing damage.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I like that.
So like that way it's like, okay, he's going to gain the 1 power and blah, blah, blah. Or no attacks generate power, and he gains 2 power at the start of every turn.
Ooh.
because he's, you know, power, you know, firing up, flaming on, as it were.
Ooh, maybe. Oh, this is thinking way outside the box because of Ant-Man and Wasp. Maybe there's a non-flame and a flame version. That's thinking too much into it, though.
That'd be cool, but let's be honest, though. When you think of the Human Torch and Johnny Storm, you don't think of his non-flamed-on version.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
That's true.
So I like where your head's at on that, but I don't think that fits on this character particularly.
I don't think it does either. I'm just excited for that mechanic.
Yes. me too. And so I definitely think like it's one or the other. Like give him a consistent power generation or give him this is his power, what he has to work with, but make his superpowers like cheap, like one or two. So that way it's either he has to bank that power for that big area attack as he takes damage, or he gets to use cheap superpowers. I definitely think an out of activation movement for him because he flies around like a fireball. Like definitely think like an out of activation medium advance would be cool.
Definitely maybe, has flight.
Yeah, he would obviously have flight. Maybe after he attacks, maybe after his second attack, he gets to advance short or something like that. And then maybe, and he definitely would be a long move. I think he would be a long move for sure. Trying to think of like superpower wise though. Other than that, like definitely, I want his attacks to be strong. I think that everything should be built around the attack. Ooh. What about a superpower where he can pay one power, and if he's attacking a character with the incinerate condition, then
he does more damage.
Then he does more damage, or he rolls more dice. But he has to like pay a power to activate that.
I feel like that's really good. Like. Yeah. I really like that.
Add two dice or something like that for one power. Ooh, that'd be super efficient. Maybe two power.
Also, he doesn't have to have too many superpowers either.
I think like three
character. Like, you know, like Dr. Octa. Doc Ock.
Yeah.
You know, he's only got, what, two superpowers?
I think he's got two or three. Hang on, I got his card here somewhere. Doesn't matter.
He's still going to be really powerful. Glass cannon-y.
Yeah, he's got three. Doc Ock has three. He has Ox Clutches, Scientific Hubris, and Wall Crawler. Two of them are innate. So he would obviously have flight. That'd be an innate. And then you'd have like one or two other ones.
I see that. I can see that really well. Yeah. I mean, that's that Fantastic Four team would kill it.
Yeah. I think your not team, but team that you created would also be pretty exciting. I think that Bishop and Rhino combo would be pretty fun. I really like what you did with She-Hulk and Strong Guy too, but the Bishop and Rhino thing I think would be a lot of fun.
I think Rhino would be so much fun.
Yeah.
with that charge ability, because that's who Rhino is. That fits so well. I mean, if they don't put like some sort of charge into his character,
they
like then it's
not.
Like why'd you even make him?
Because exactly.
That's Rhino.
So speaking of charging, I think we need to charge to a halt here because this is officially becoming the longest episode of House Party Protocol.
Well, I think it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. I think this is a really great discussion, and I would love to know what all the suits out there thought. Please send us messages at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com and on Facebook at House Party Protocol Podcast. Comment, like, make sure to subscribe if you want to get these podcasts immediately when I release them, when I post them online, boom, right to your inbox, done and done. And make sure to leave us a review if you haven't already. We really appreciate that. And once I'm back from vacation, we are going to open up all the stuff that I have been teasing for a while. We're going to have a giveaway. We're going to have some t-shirts. We're going to have keychains and mugs and all that stuff launching once I get back from vacation. So stay tuned for that. I hope you are excited. And yeah, make sure to check out Blacksite Studio for some of the best gaming terrain in the business. You can use our code HOUSEPARTY15 for 15% off individual items over there. And Derek, final thoughts?
Let us know what characters you want the most and build that character, because it's so much fun. We could probably talk about this forever.
Oh my God, yeah. We could sit here and literally go through the Marvel Universe with this today, but nobody wants to hear all of that right now.
No, nobody does. So you tell us what you want and break down that character. It doesn't even have to be too realistic. Like, you know what? If your favorite character should be a 3, but you want him to be a 5, make it. Do it.
Make it happen. Make it happen. And with that, party on, Derek.
Party on, Will.